What were you playing, Ron and Brian?
Go to Mexico.
What's that?
Ron and Brian go to Mexico.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 44 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who is asking for your vote as writing candidate for the GOP delegate to the Saratoga County Supreme Court nominating convention and state committee man, Brian. Brian, I didn't want to, you know, I know you wanted to make the big announcement about your throwing your hat into the ring, but I was just so excited for you that I just had to get it out right at the top of the show.
And I genuinely appreciate it. I want, it's something that I think is very important for our listeners to hear. It is something that I am very passionate about. It is something that I feel like I've spent my entire life building up to this moment. The Saratoga County Republican, I want to call it a party. It's not even a committee. It's a Gestapo. I would say it's a little boys club, but we're going to be talking about boys club later when we talk about Michael Jackson. So I can't even use that phrase. What I can say is that it's filled with people that are not representing the populace. These are people that I think are secretly aligned with AOC. I think that these are people that secretly want what Bernie Sanders is bringing to the tables. I almost said Bernie Williams, but I think what's most important here, and I think the thing that we all have to consider, is the fact that the Saratoga County Republicans, you know, you may think that you've got a hold on a stranglehold on politics. That's not true. We're coming in. Barns are burning. We will be we will not be burning any barns. I do not want anybody to report. Just if you live in Saratoga County and you're registered as a Democrat, please just go out to vote. Let your voice be heard. Write in my name as a delegate. I will represent the people when it comes to enforcing proper bottle and can return policies at local supermarkets. I will make sure that only the finest cigarettes are sold to underage children in supermarkets in Saratoga County. And I will make sure that all women who are skull chewers will be elevated to prom queens across the county.
Sir, God bless you. That is Thank a you. Solid platform, stated very succinctly, and I feel you've got your campaign off to a rolling start. So you definitely have my vote, and we'll see what other support we can drum up leading up Thank to you. Election Day this fall. Thank you. But in the meantime, speaking of important votes, drink of the week was a runaway again this week. Superfan Jocelyn recommended two drinks for us, the Bee's Knees and the Whiskey Smash. Whiskey Smash garnered 71% of the vote. That is our drink of the week. How does your Whiskey Smash look, sir? Hold it up to the camera so at least I can get a look. Oh, not too bad. What do you think of this bad boy right here?
See, but you didn't go with the large ice cube.
I don't have a bougie large ice cube maker like you do.
So now we have discovered there's two things that I am more bougie than you are.
Yes.
And that is the size of my ice cubes.
Yes.
And the way I like to make my coffee on Saturday mornings.
Yes, no doubt. So how did you do your Whiskey Smash, sir?
It basically was 2 ounces of whiskey.
Correct.
It was 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup.
Okay.
I put in half of a lemon, which I muddled. And you know me, I love to muddle.
Yes.
I was so excited when I saw the instructions and it said to muddle. That, you know, my recipe called for 3 lemon wedges. I said, fuck it, I'm going all out. I just went with the whole half of a lemon. Muddled the crap out of it. I threw in 4 mint leaves.
All right.
Which I did slap against my palm.
Nice.
Just to get the flavor.
Get the aroma going.
Poured the bourbon in. I shook it aggressively. Realized how many lemon seeds snuck by when I wasn't looking. I mean, holy crap. I even think I may be drinking a couple. So if I choke, just keep doing the show. And then I I poured it into a glass over a large
ice cube. My recipe was a little bit different.
If you say that yours required an egg white, I'm just walking away.
No egg white this time. It did require half a lemon cut into wedges. I was smart enough to de-seed the lemon before putting it into my shaker. Seven mint leaves, and instead of simple syrup, this actually just called for a tablespoon of sugar, muddled down, couple ounces of bourbon, shaky, over ice, whiskey smash. Cheers to you. Let's see how this tastes.
Cheers to you. I'm a little nervous drinking it. It's very cloudy, which I didn't think it was going to be.
That is, I'm not going to lie. That's another keeper, my friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's great about this drink, and it's rare that I'm this excited about something,
is
that none of the tastes are overpowering in this beverage. Mm-mm. I mean, there is a hint of the bourbon.
Right.
I mean, you taste that, but it's not overpowering. You definitely taste lemon, but once again, it doesn't taste like you're sucking down a lemon.
No.
There's some mint to it. It's a little sweet, but it's not sugary. It's an odd, I almost feel like I made this drink correctly. It's got all the flavor that you want it to and it feels like they're all working in order with each other.
There's like a little symphony going on in your mouth right now.
And Michael Jackson's invited.
Mm. No, that is good. And I will
that's
be
a good drink.
In addition to my whiskey smash, I'm washing it down tonight with a Lagunitas Dogtown Pale Ale afterwards, because I'm getting a little early celebrating in today.
What are you celebrating?
Well, you know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow's a very big day. Actually, it'll probably be today by the time a lot of you folks listen to it. It'll be my 48th birthday.
I didn't think you were actually going to go and pander and talk about your birthday.
I have to pander just a little bit.
Well, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Made it to
We have any... Do we have any major plans?
No, just going to work for the man like I do each and every day. And come home and have a little dinner and be in bed by, 9:30 like us old men do.
All right. Are you going to have anything? All right, let me phrase it. Will the wife be making you dinner or are you going to make your own?
We'll see. We'll see how she's feeling. Odds are I will make my own dinner.
Okay.
That's all right. I'm the cook of the house. I'm fine with that.
I think that's what you want. I think you want to be the one who makes the dinner.
That's right. All right, moving on. Not to belabor it, but let's get into this week in racism.
This
week
in
racism.
And we've got a 3-time winner, Julie Edwards, not much competition again, defeating Marianne Lasanti 75% to 25%. So she will be going for win number 4, looking to retire, looking to get a number 1 seed in our year-ending Racism Madness tournament. Brian, you called it again. You said Marianne Lasanti was bad, not bad enough to knock off Julie Edwards. But I feel like she's going to be facing some stiffer competition this week. Some of the cases we were considering over in Attleboro, Massachusetts, a woman being referred to as Dog Park Diane called the police on a black man, Franklin Baxley, whose dog had humped her dog at the park. She called the police when he refused to leave the park at her request. Police arrived, but no charges were filed against either party. Going up north to Quebec, Canada, at last Saturday's game between the Jonquière Margries and the Saint-Jérôme Pétrolier du Nord. That's
horrible. You're butchering that.
In the North American Hockey League, marquee player Jonathan Ismail Diaby was targeted by racist opposing fans who taunted him and his family and forced them to leave the game early. Going out to Arkansas, officials at the Pulaski County Special School District are investigating whether a black student was told to be quiet by a teacher after he complained about a fellow student's project that gave white people permission to use the N-word. The students had developed an N-word pass that bore the pictures of Martin Luther King and President Obama. Going out to the West Coast, Boulder, Colorado, police drew their guns on a black man who was cleaning trash out of his own yard. and then going
I
down.
Saw that on the you news. Didn't. Sorry to interrupt. I did. It was on the news today. Not only did the police show up, but there was, I think, about 8 cops
yeah.
that showed up. Literally, just they kept showing up to this guy's house.
Who had already produced identification, but just more police arrived. So there will be apparently an investigation into that, and the police will be reporting back on themselves in the next 60 to 90 days, because who better to police the police than themselves?
Of course.
Scottsdale, Arizona. Several white students were recorded using racial slurs during a classroom lesson on the civil rights movement. The lesson was intended to teach how and why the racial slur is offensive, but some of the white students took it as a joke and just started throwing it around the classroom. A lot of school-related cases this week, because our contender this week comes from Hoover, Alabama. Students from Spain Park High School were caught on video making racist and anti-Semitic comments, and we've got the audio of the video here.
Without the Holocaust, what would the world be like?
We would have white people now. All of the niggers
Jews,
not
Jews, Jews would run the world niggers. Without the Holocaust.
Fuck niggers, fuck Jews.
Jews are fine.
If the Holocaust never happened, Jews would be running the world right
it's
now.
It's fine. We just need niggers gone. So half
think about
mix
that.
Oreos. Awesome. What are you
going to
do with them?
You stick them in concentration
camps. No, you have to, wait till they die.
It's charging.
No, we run niggers because they do football for us and rap music. And we pay them for that.
Now, Brian, I know you're saying to yourself, Ron, Spain Park High School, Hoover, Alabama, that sounds awfully familiar to me. And if you're saying that to yourself, you are right, because Spain Park High School was featured in This Week in Racism back in 2018.
No way.
Yes, this was a set of different students also caught on video using the N-word with this one clip. And then this other clip.
All you fucking niggas in that group chat that got butthurt by that, go fuck yourself, because it's the 21st century. You can sit there and call me a cracker. Congratulations. I'm white. You're black. Good observation. Okay? You're fucking retarded. No one cares that you're black. Okay? All these black people over here are like, oh my god. Oh, everyone's gonna sit there and shoot me because I'm black. No one gives a freaking damn that you are black.
So school officials are looking into this latest incident, as well as an alleged incident of a white teacher using the N-word yesterday when talking with African-American students at Spain Park High regarding this incident.
What I like about that last girl was that she felt the need to be decent by saying at the end that nobody gives a frickin' damn.
Yeah.
You know, because she doesn't want to curse. But what I found interesting about the original, the first clip that you played back there
yes.
was obviously they're throwing anti-Semitic things around. I think you heard mostly the boys saying things. And then you heard this one girl sit there and say that the Jews aren't bad because they're white.
Yes. That was Mackenzie. Which shows
Mackenzie's letting me down a little bit, because what she's not realizing is that the Jews are not accepted as being white. They are considered lower than white, somewhere between, I would say, a snake and a pig.
According to some individuals, yes.
Well, according to the white races and basically everybody she's in that room
yes.
with.
So let's take a little deeper dive into Hoover, Alabama for a moment. Last yes. year, a Hoover, Alabama teacher resigned after telling a student playing Tupac to, quote, turn the N-word tunes off. They also had a football coach in that school district that needed to resign a couple of years back after using a racial slur towards a black player. Going back a few years, Hoover City Schools had attempted to reduce its non-white school population by charging students fees to ride school buses until former Attorney General Eric Holder and the NAACP stepped in. And also, if you remember, in November of last year at the River Chase Galleria Mall in Hoover, Alabama, a white Hoover police officer working security at the mall shot and killed a black man, 21-year-old Amantic Fitzgerald Bradford Jr., during an active shooter situation at the mall. Police initially tried to frame the situation that Bradford was the shooter and was waving his gun at the officer until mall camera footage showed otherwise. So Hoover, Alabama seems to be one of the most horrible places on the planet. Can't say I'm awfully surprised that the kids at the at Spain Park High School are turning out the way that they are.
Ironically, and this is where it's a little uncomfortable for me, because tomorrow morning I am scheduled to get on a plane and fly down to Hoover, Alabama, so I can officially make my announcement in front of a public rally along with many members of the press that I am running as a write-in delegate for the Saratoga County Republican Committee. I mean, you basically told everyone. I mean, it's not going to be a big surprise, but I am supposed to be down in Hoover, Alabama, and now I feel like I can't go because of all these allegations. You know, I'd like to see, you know, these kids get their day in court, have an opportunity to explain how some of these audio clips are taken out of context, and that this is that, you know, they're definitely not racist because they have a black friend.
So, you know, it's interesting that you would go to Alabama to campaign for a seat in upstate New York, but I'm not gonna.
Is it any stranger that Bernie Sanders decides to make his announcement in Brooklyn, New York?
And I suppose you're right. You are 100% on the money as always. I don't know why
I try.
Even bother to dispute your thoughts. So anyway, so we have the kids at Spain Park High School going up this week in racism, going up against Julie Edwards, going for win number 3. I think Julie's got her hands full this week. You know, it's a group effort with Spain Park High School and all of Hoover, Alabama being wildly racist. But the votes will tell us who the worst individual or worst individuals are. So make sure you visit our Facebook page, check out the poll, place your vote before next week's episode. Brian, anything else on this week in racism before we move on?
Well, yeah, I would like some clarification. Yeah. Now, are we basing our vote on the students in Hoover, Alabama? Are we basing it on this most recent tape, or is it are we basing it on the collective acts of that school district?
I mean, I think you should base it off of the actions of this most recent audio clip, but I was just trying to provide some context. You know, whereas some may say, oh, these are just some kids, they don't know what they're doing. But there's definitely a high level of institutional racism in that school and in that school district. So just trying to provide our listeners a little bit more context before they cast their vote.
Good job. All right. I'll take it.
We do what we can. All right. All right. Let's do it up. Beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's beefing you this week?
My beef, and it's poor customer service.
All right.
And people who are not happy when in jobs where that they're providing customer service. There is a cafeteria in one of the buildings that I work out of. And myself and a bunch of coworkers usually go down there for lunch. And there are two women that work behind the counter. And I think that in probably, I would say I've been there maybe 20 times already. And I don't think I've seen either of the women who work the cash register crack a smile, say thank you, show in any way anything other than simple misery. And it irks me every time because it takes such a small effort to just say thank you or have a nice day. But the look of gloom and doom that you get from these two makes me not want to go back.
And I will say on your behalf, you're actually quite friendly with service workers. I've seen.
Try very much.
You're always very polite, very cordial, striking up a conversation, making eye contact, much nicer than I am to other people. So,
well, usually you're hungover at that moment.
I mean, there is those times.
What's your beef?
My beef, and it may seem trivial, my beef is with the new show Whiskey Cavalier on ABC that previewed this past week. It's got the one lady that was on Walking Dead, Lauren.
Maggie.
She's on. That's her new show. What
is she not on Walking Dead anymore?
Apparently not. Like, I know, like, and I haven't been keeping up with Walking Dead because I stopped watching it years ago. I'm over with it. But this show, like, I very much enjoy, like, government, like FBI, CIA, espionage type shows. But this show was both so improbable and so over the top that it's been a long time since I've actually felt like insulted by a TV show. That's how bad this show is.
Interesting. What is, if you can share, I take it you watched the first episode.
I did watch the first episode, yes.
Okay. What is the plot?
So the plot is, and I forget the actor that plays the guy, Whiskey is his code name, of course. But his deal is he's like an FBI super agent, but he also has like high emotional sensitivity. So that apparently what makes him such a great agent. But his fiance just broke up with him. So now he's all sad and he's trying to balance that out. But like he basically is trying to get, you know, he's trying to get like this vial of Ebola back and his partner's not there. So he literally takes on like everybody and manages to get the Ebola back. And then he goes on another mission where he interacts with Lauren Cohen, and they basically spend the whole episode fighting back and forth because he's FBI, she's CIA. They're both trying to bring the same person in. It was just very, very over the top and dumb.
Too far-fetched.
And then like there's like a twist at the end that you really see coming the entire episode, and it was just horrible. Just got awful.
Is the twist when they make out?
They don't even make out. It's one of those shows where there's going to be a lot of ongoing sexual tension happening.
Correct. And usually towards the end of season two is when they are going to be sent to some romantic location, maybe Paris, on some type of on a case. They're going to both have too much to drink at a nightclub while they're watching the suspect, at which point it'll cut. In the last episode of the season, it will cut to hotel room, clothes on the floor, gun, badge, earplug, butt plug,
on panties, network TV, huh?
Yeah. All right. Panties, bra, men's underwear. And then you're going to show her waking up with her head, in her hand saying, "What did I do?" Fade to black, and then we have to wait for the summer. And hopefully the show gets canceled by that point.
God willing, it doesn't even make a second season. So that's my beef. Minor, but it's what I got this week. So crazy week for celebrities. Lots of bad news. First,
we'll
start with what we heard just a couple hours before we recorded this episode. Alex Trebek announcing via the Jeopardy YouTube channel that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. This was his announcement.
Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year. This week, I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me. Keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done.
So Alex Trebek, 78 years old, has been hosting Jeopardy for the last 35 years. I mean, surprisingly upbeat, even managing to joke a bit about his prognosis. But yeah, I mean, there is it's I don't know what the percentage is when you're in stage four pancreatic cancer, but I believe
Ron,
Patrick Swayze had.
Ron, I believe what you wanted to say is, what is the survival rate of stage four pancreatic cancer?
Yes, I'm sorry. I did not phrase that in the form of a question.
No, pancreatic cancer is a bitch. It's one of the worst cancers out there. They usually catch it when it is advanced. And it's the one where they have the lowest success rate amongst it. It is a terrible thing. And would love for our scientists out there to start making some progress on it. I wish Donald Trump had, instead of asking WikiLeaks to release the Clinton emails, I wish he had asked WikiLeaks to go in and get us a cure for cancer.
So looking at this real quick, on average across all stages, pancreatic cancer has a 5-year survival rate of 9%.
Yeah.
Now, I guess on the plus side, you could say, you know, he's made it to 78. He's had a good long life, but, you know, let's hope he can hang in there longer. I mean, the man is an American institution. Even though he's Canadian, he's an American institution with Jeopardy.
Lived with his mother for many years.
Did he now? I was not aware of that.
Yes. Yes. I still watch Jeopardy every night. I don't know if you do.
I'm a fan of Jeopardy, yes.
I
do.
I love screaming out answers. And, we'll admit that half the time I'm just throwing out a total guess, but there is a sense of satisfaction in getting the final Jeopardy question correct.
There is, especially
it just makes you feel good,
especially during like regular Jeopardy, like during Teen Jeopardy and College Jeopardy. It's a little bit easier. Did you watch the All Star Jeopardy the last couple of weeks?
Hated it.
Really?
Hated it. Hated it.
Interesting. Why did you hate it?
Because they tried to make the contestants' personalities. Now, for those people that have not been watching Jeopardy, but are familiar with the format of the show, every episode there are three contestants. They each participate in first round of Jeopardy, then second round of Jeopardy, and if they have a negative balance after Double Jeopardy, then they are not able to participate in Final Jeopardy. Whoever has the most dollars at the end of Final Jeopardy wins and is able to return to the program for the next show. So this tournament of personalities, as I prefer to call it, they took, what was it, 8 teams?
I believe
five teams,
so, yes.
3? Okay, they took 14 teams, we'll call it, because it felt like it went on for fucking ever. they took like 18 different teams, and they took, so there were 18 people that were like, you know, the highest dollar grossers on that show. And then they picked 2 people to be on their team. And in each episode that they participated in, one of the 3 got to participate in the first round of Jeopardy, one in the second round, one got to be in the third round of Jeopardy. And the problem that I had with it was that they spent at least, I would say, maybe 20% of every episode showing the people on the different teams sitting around a conference room table trying to strategize how they were going to play Jeopardy. And, it, you know, so out of nowhere, you just see these 3 people talking like, I don't know, Will, I feel really lucky at Double Jeopardy today, and I think you should let me take it. And then Will sits there and goes, that's all right, Karen. I think you match up really good with the other teams, and I'm going to take first Jeopardy. I'm taking single Jeopardy, which leaves you, Quan. Quan, do you think you can handle final Jeopardy? And then Quan sitting there looking at the other 2 like, you fucking idiots. I thought I was on Wheel of Fortune. There's no way I'm going to be able to do anything. The last thing, like, I shouldn't be here today. I should be working back at the Quickie Mart. I wasn't even supposed to be here today. And then they all get a little chuckle, at which point Quan goes, of course I should do Final Jeopardy, because if there's anyone who knows 18th century English prose, it's me. And then they all chuckle, and they cut right back to Jeopardy. And it's like, why the, like, I don't want to see these people personalities. I don't want to know about them. Just ask questions. Let me answer along with them.
You're not even a fan of Austin Rogers, a fellow New Yorker?
Oh, I thought, wasn't he a second baseman for the Columbus Clippers?
No, he is
in 1994.
He's a bartender at Gaff West on West 48th Street.
Yep, no idea.
He was one of the team leaders. And Ken Jennings, the holder of the longest record, 74 wins in a row, has like managed to turn his performance on Jeopardy into like, that's just his career now. He just writes books and talks about trivia, and that's his living. Like, he doesn't really have to have a real job anymore.
Okay, well, good for him.
A little quiz for you. Do you remember how much Ken Jennings won in his run on Jeopardy?
I'm going to say $7 million.
Not quite that high. $2.5 million in 74 games. And he's now, with all these different tournaments he's been in, is up to $3.3 million.
I really hope he invested in real estate.
Or Bitcoin. I hear that's hot right now.
I don't know. Bitcoin's starting to fall.
Well, anyway, best wishes going out to Alex for his cancer battle. We hope to see him around for many years to come. Some individuals that left us this week. First, lead singer of the band Prodigy, Keith Flint, took his own life at the age of 49. For you kids,
was that confirmed?
That was confirmed, yes, by his bandmates.
Shit.
He apparently was very depressed. The police had gone to his apartment for a welfare check and found him non-responsive. For the kids out there who might not be familiar with Prodigy, they had hits like Breathe, Firestarter, which we have a little clip here. Brian was throwing himself around his apartment just then. And you winded now? You look a little...
A little bit.
One of their more controversial hits back in the day, Smack My Bitch Up. They apparently were shocked to find that some people were offended by a song entitled Smack My Bitch Up.
What I didn't realize was just how monotonous those songs became. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, obviously time has passed and whatnot, and I listen to some atrocious sounding music. I'm not even going to pretend that that I have any right to a moral high ground. But Jesus, there was that stuff monotonous.
It did definitely all sound the same, no question.
Yeah, and it would go on for like 12 minutes.
So he apparently had started out as a dancer and then became the front man of the group. Those songs came out in 1996. Also owned a motorcycle racing team, Team Traction Control, which apparently won some races, competed in the British Super Sports Championships. But yes, on March 4th, following concerns for his welfare, police were called to his home in the North End, where he was found dead. Police do not consider his death suspicious, and his bandmate Liam Howlett stated via Instagram that Flint ended his own life.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's gonna be pretty bad when you get announced via Instagram.
I would say so. I mean, let's face it. If I were to die now, you would announce it on Twitter. Is that any better?
I mean, I don't know if I'd do it on Twitter. Maybe Facebook.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, you would do it on Twitter.
Because I'm killing it on Twitter, and I don't want to bring people down.
Killing it. Killing it.
Killing it. Also passing away this week at the age of 89, Catherine Helmond. Actress, probably know her
this
best.
This one hurt.
They did. She was Mona Robinson on Who's the Boss. She also played Doris Sherman on Coach. She played Lois Whelan on Everybody Loves Raymond. She was Deborah Barone's mom. I got to know her best as Jessica Tate on the sitcom Soap back in the late 70s, early 80s. Do you remember Soap?
Vaguely.
It was way ahead of its time. It was like very off the wall, quirky, funny, but a huge lineup there. Billy Crystal, Richard Mulligan, Catherine Helmond.
Robert Guillaume,
yes. If you remember the show, yes. Benson, that was a spinoff of the show Soap.
Yeah.
Helmand also had supporting roles in films such as Alfred Hitchcock's Family Plot and Terry Gilliam's Brazil, and she also voiced Lizzie in the Cars film trilogy by Disney and Pixar.
Well, at least she got some stable work throughout the decades.
No doubt, no doubt. Married twice. Her second marriage lasted 57 years up to the time of her death. But yes, definitely know her best from Who's the Boss, Alyssa Milano tweeting, you know, her sadness at her loss, said Katherine Hellman taught her how to be funny, which I wasn't aware that Alyssa Milano was funny, but.
Well, some of her Me Too tweets, I mean, they produce quite the chuckle.
Did she do one of those Poison Ivy movies, or am I?
I think she was Poison Ivy.
Wasn't Drew Barrymore in one of the Poison Ivy movies?
Yeah, but then I think Drew Barrymore was the first Poison Ivy. Then I think the second one was Alyssa Milano. And I think the third one was, Brie Olsen.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think Brie Olsen was in Poison Ivy 3.
We may have to look this up here. Let's see. Poison Ivy 2.
I will say, I never even saw Poison Ivy, so I don't know the gist of it.
So, you know, I couldn't even tell you. It was basically like softcore pornography. So yeah, Poison.
Which back then was something I was into.
So yes, definitely Poison Ivy 2 was Alyssa Milano. Actually, Jamie Presley was in Poison Ivy, The New Seduction. And then
who's Jamie Presley?
Jamie Presley, she's one of those people. She's on Mom right now with the other
blonde Southern girl. Easy on the eyes, but very difficult on the ears.
Okay, and then apparently there was a fourth one called Poison Ivy: The Secret Society, which does not look like it had anybody that you would know in it. Shauna Waldron was Poison Ivy. I don't know.
That one went straight to rerun.
That went straight to VHS. So we say goodbye to Katherine Helmand. Also, a lot of K names this week. King Kong Bundy, bad guy.
Ooh, this one hurt.
From the
WWF.
This one
real hurt.
Real name Christopher Pallies. He was huge in the mid-80s, mid-90s in the WWF. Literally huge.
And he was literally huge.
He was announced at 458 pounds in his matches, although I think they may have enhanced that a little bit, but he was a big guy. Best known for his main event steel cage match against Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 2.
That was not a real steel cage.
Well, the big thing what they kept saying was that was when they went to like the blue steel bar cage because there was so much weight in the ring. We had to bring in the reinforced cage for this match.
See, I thought that was just a ploy not to make it easier for television to see through the cage.
Oh no, that's totally what it was. Is you know, Vince noticed that with the cyclone fence, you know, the cameras had a hard time picking up the action.
Right.
Nowadays, with better cameras, they don't have to worry about it. But
true. I mean, you got King Kong Bundy. You've got Katherine Helmand, Keith Flint. I mean, we've just lost so many important people. Just a rough week in celebrity deaths.
Not only that, probably the roughest one, especially if you were a teenage girl in the 90s. That's right, Dylan. Luke Perry, Coy Luther Perry III, passed away at the age of 52 after a major stroke last week.
Wait, Luke Perry died?
Luke Perry died.
Dylan from 90210?
Dylan from 90210.
Oh, shit.
I know.
Oh, this hurts. Because he was one of my,
Would you like to? Would you like to say a few things about Luke? At this time?
Had I known, I would have prepared.
Oh, it's a shame that you don't have anything prepared.
Luke Perry, you fucking died. At the age of 52, you croaked and made me cry. Luke Perry, you fucking died. A massive stroke so young, oh God, no, why, oh why? Why wasn't it Ian? Why not Jenny Garth? Why not Tori Spelling? They're alive, you're dead, and I need to barf. Luke Perry, you fucking died. You left me with so much to learn, like how to pose for pictures with sideburns. I have to admit, I only saw you in Oz. Though everyone saw you as a boy toy, I had no idea your name was really Coy. I never watched Riverdale, that's not a tall tale. And now they're pouring your ashes in a pail, and your fiancé's wearing a long black veil. Luke Perry, you were so goddamn cool. But now I'm out $50, cause I had Shannon Doherty in my office's Deadpool.
Oh, wow. Off the cuff again. It's amazing how good you are at that.
It just came out of me. I don't know where it came from. Obviously, just years of loving the good man, Luke Perry.
Can you give me some relief?
I mean, I have to admit, I looked at his IMDb. boy, that clip really hit a Freudian slip. But I looked at his IMDb page, and he starred in a lot of garbage. I mean, good for him. He was, as an actor, the fact that he had steady work, that he was able to make a living doing it, good for him. But Jesus, did he pump out some garbage.
There was definitely some misses. I mean, obviously, hit it big with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Even 8 Seconds, I would say, was fairly popular when it came out. But yeah, then you kind of look through a lot of these, and it's like, yeah. And a lot of them are just direct-to-video.
Yes.
But he will always be our terrible he will always TV be our series. Dylan.
Yes, he will be our Dylan. And unfortunately, I am actually out $50 because I did have Shannon Doherty in a Deadpool.
She is hanging in there, despite it all.
Who would have guessed?
So, which leads to the question, did you prefer Dylan with Brenda or Dylan with Kelly?
Oh, Brenda, of course.
There's no two ways around it. If you prefer Dylan and Kelly together, just don't even listen to the podcast. We're just done with you. So, Brian.
Which one was Kelly?
What's that?
Which one was Kelly?
That was Jenny Garth.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely Shannon Doherty. All right. She was the shit back in the day.
Yes, she was. All right, moving on. Brian, you're going to educate us on the new Michael Jackson documentary that dropped on HBO this past week, Leaving Neverland.
First off, what I want to say is there's going to be some spoilers. So spoiler alert. According to Leaving Neverland, Michael Jackson raping some boys.
Surprise.
And I know... And for those people that were not aware, we're hoping that for the big reveal, I'm going to say that really quick into the documentary, and it's 4 hours long. I watched the first two, and I was genuinely made uncomfortable at how graphic the detail was of the different sexual encounters that these two young men at the time, boys, had with Michael Jackson. Basically, the storyline is this. Michael Jackson, now keep in mind, there is a caveat that I've got to say, which is the fact that these two boys had been, they were called to testify during Michael Jackson's trials. They were interrogated by police back in the day, and both sat there and said under oath that Michael Jackson had never touched them.
Correct.
Now they are participating in this documentary, and their story has changed dramatically because now they both tell a story of being courted by Michael Jackson at a very young age, how he very quickly would separate them from their family, how he would dote upon them, how he would call them, spend hours on the phone with them, invite the kids' families out to his home. He would spend time with the boys in various rooms in his house away from the family. Then he would build up to asking if the kids can sleep in bed with him. Then it would get to a point where they were locking the doors behind them. And the creepy thing that I found throughout this whole thing is that both of these young men's mothers are interviewing and knowing, and this is the part that makes me most uncomfortable, other than the graphic sexual abuse. And I mean graphic. Like, this kid's talking about what it was like to give oral sex to Michael Jackson when he was seven. And I don't mean Michael Jackson getting it. I'm talking about the kid being 7 years old and different things that Michael Jackson was into. Like, he was one of the common trends was he would ask the boys to get naked and then bend over and spread their butt cheeks apart for him while he masturbated.
Ugh.
I mean, and it's just gross, gross stuff. I will say this. I don't have the cleanest minds on earth, but Jesus, was I uncomfortable watching that stuff. But what really made me feel just gross was listening to the mothers being interviewed who are talking about the period of time when they were being courted by Michael with this sense of excitement, with this sense of happiness, joy, that here they were just these, you know, small town bumpkins, and now they're on private jets and they're flying to Japan and they're on tour with Michael Jackson and they're meeting all these celebrities. Like, there's a and at the same time, their children are being raped, and there's no sense. You don't get a sense of shock, embarrassment, shame, regret. And maybe that's in part two. I haven't watched it yet. I plan on watching it tomorrow. But there's just it is a sense, you know, it's almost as there's a sense of glee, of joy, of like, oh, it was, you know, here we were just, you know, living in a small town and this world star is calling us for hours. And he's asking me how I was doing. And we were talking and he said, you know, would you like to, can I fly you out to London where I have a concert and we can spend and it was just so thrilling. I was meeting Harrison Ford and I'm sitting like, yeah. And your son was getting fucked.
Yeah, the one guy, Wade Robson, the Australian, his mother, I remember she was just like, oh, and you know, I was sitting in Michael Jackson's hotel room and I was sitting next to him and his hand was just running back and forth on the sheets. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting on the same bed as Michael Jackson. And it was, for both him and James Safechuck was the other gentleman, both of the right. mothers had that same level of detachment from reality, it almost seemed, as the yeah. parents in Abducted at Plain Sight. Like, they're yes. telling their story, and, like, we all know how the story ends. And I think we all felt pretty comfortable. We could see how this story was going to end. And they're just recounting it like, yeah, this is, we were just taken in by the magic that was Michael Jackson.
Literally, I mean, it just, it was, yeah, I felt gross watching it.
The question becomes,
Are these kids to be believed? Right. And I call them kids. They're young men. They look to be in like their late 20s at this point. The details that they give certainly sound like they're credible. I think it's very accepted in the white culture that Michael Jackson was diddling young boys. I think that he, it was just, there's something weird about a grown man who can interact at a level of a 7 year old boy so comfortably as he.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
and I know there's a large segment of Twitter right now that's basically like, leave Michael alone. You know, he was a great musician. Why are you going after him and trying to remove, you know, damage his reputation? Why are you bringing Michael down? You know, he did so many great things, you know, in terms of charities and, you know, helping sick children. You know, why are you trying to make money off? I mean, I don't know what to believe, but I genuinely think he did do some wrong stuff.
Yeah, and I think the scarier part is, you know, is I don't think it ever occurred to him, to Michael Jackson, that what he was doing was wrong. Like, I don't think Michael Jackson ever really considered himself an adult. I think he always considered himself kind of a child, even though he was a grown man. And so I feel he was so disconnected from reality that he really never grasped that what he was doing was wrong. And I think he was just so natural about it. That's why these parents never had an issue leaving their children with him overnight.
Well, I think, you know, so from listening to some of the quotes from the boys, you know, he did, you know, he did set up an environment in terms of his communications with the kids as to, you know, you can't tell anyone, people wouldn't understand, I'd go to jail if anybody knew about us. There seems to have been some acknowledgement on his part that this was activity that they should not be participating in. What I find amazing is just how brazen he was. I mean, there was one scene where he's asking one of the mothers of one of, I believe it was Wade Robson's mother, where he asked if the kid can stay with him for a year.
Yeah.
Because he's going to teach the kid how to properly dance, and he's going to set the kid up with a good career. You know, to her credit, she said no. And Michael's reaction was, well, I always get what I want, at which point she said, this is my son, you know, this isn't like something else, like, no, at which point they negotiated down and agreed to a month.
And still, you know, she still let him go for a month. And now the Jackson estate is suing HBO for more than $100 million over the documentary because the film's director never reached out to the estate for comment. But, you know, what would the estate have said? Like, obviously.
You know what they would have said? You know what? We deny all charges. Yeah. And why don't you go to YouTube, where we just released a full concert video film of Michael Jackson in concert. Don't watch Leaving Neverland. Watch a free Michael Jackson video that we've been sitting on for this very moment.
But the one thing that...
opportunistic.
The one thing
pigs.
I did notice, like, as I mentioned to you, I wasn't able to get through the whole thing. But, you know, what it seems was, it was very similar, very similar situation to the R. Kelly-ish situation where, you know, Michael Jackson really seemed to be grooming these kids to be kind of his sexual consorts, you know, separating them from the parents, you know, with promises of stardom and building the career.
Yeah.
You know, just very, you know, there's a very definitive sexual predator playbook that seemed to be as much in play with Michael Jackson as we've seen with R. Kelly.
Speaking of which,
insane interview from R. Kelly this morning with Gayle King on CBS This Morning. Not really taking much, basically very defensive, very just crazy rambling. Let's start off with some of these clips here.
With all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. Why, how stupid would I be to do that?
So R. Kelly's contention was, and again, Gayle hadn't even really asked a question at this point.
And also, it sounded like he started about 4 sentences before he got to how stupid can right. I be? Like, he started something, then he changed to a different sentence, moved to another one, and then just said, how stupid can I be?
So his argument seems to be, and again, she didn't even ask him about locking anybody up or anything like that. He just kind of went with it.
Right.
So his argument seems to be that the fact that he was charged before and acquitted, how stupid right. could he be to, you know, capture women. And he kind of goes into it a little bit more.
Oh, right now, I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
So, again, Gail is not asked a question, really. He's just really just sitting there, just rambling on, and she's trying to, like, steer him back on course.
Because I was hoping you could explain to me what the getting shoes from her uncle's line was a reference.
I assume he's referring to one of the girls that he was holding allegedly hostage. You know, had to go, was barefoot and had to run out to get shoes from a family member. I don't know. There's a lot of insanity that's going to come out in this upcoming trial. But okay. I'm going to play this next clip for you, and you just tell me if this seems like someone who doesn't sound amazingly guilty to you.
Quit playing.
Sure.
Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
I mean, we do want to believe the truth.
Robert.
And props to Gail King. Like, she was...
Yeah.
He was...
Held it down.
He was like... She's just sitting in the chair, and he's just up. He's swinging around. He is out of control. And so now... Later in the interview, they get him calmed down a little bit. Now he tries to deflect. He does the classic deflection of, well, there's more important things going on in the world right now, and you're focusing on me. So this is what's happening right now that R. Kelly thinks people should be focusing on.
It's real girls out there missing. It's real young girls out there being abducted, being raped, okay? They really are on chains.
So he goes off on that rant for like another good 2 minutes.
Because he would know if there are girls out there being kidnapped, being raped, and being held in chains. I mean, he would know that.
He literally would have video of that happening.
Yes. And Michael Avenatti would be releasing those videos one at a time.
But towards the end of the interview, he admits he does need help with one. He needs help with one thing, Brian.
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart.
That's his problem.
His
heart is so big that he lets
his
people
heart is
close
so big.
To him, and they screw him over, Brian.
You know what? If only he had some kind of superpower that when they're holding him down by his heavy heart, that he could fly.
If only he could believe, maybe he could fly.
Maybe he could touch the sky.
Maybe.
He dreams about it every night and day.
So anyway...
He dreams about it. He could fly away.
Earlier today, R. Kelly was taken back into custody due to unpaid child support.
You do one fucking crazy interview with Gail King, and Gail is sitting there watching him being like, I'm fighting for my life! I'm fighting for my life! You know, Gail's sitting there being like, as soon as this is over, I'm calling 911 and reporting you to the police. So, let's get some little bit more histrionics, and then I think we're all wrapped up. We got some good footage, right, guys?
I have a taser behind my back, and so he is in he's in jail until he pays $161,000 in back child support, which, considering he had quite the difficulty coming up with $100,000 for his bail, I think he might be in there for a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I had said previously that there was a hair salon owner that had posted his bail. She actually owns a couple of restaurants there in Chicago. This woman that posted his bail to get him out of jail previously, and her restaurants are now just getting torn apart on Yelp right now by people.
I would love to see what her Yelp reviews
are. They've taken all the old reviews down now because, you know, Yelp is like locked the page, but literally hundreds of reviews just talking about, like, you know, can I get some sexual assault with my flapjacks, you know, type stuff.
Oh, you know, every now and then that shit makes me laugh really hard.
You do like...
Speaking of Yelp, had a really odd encounter 2 days
really?
Ago.
Really? Tell me about it.
Went to my dry cleaners to pick up my work shirts. And the guy asks me, after he gets my shirts and he's ringing up my credit card, he says, do you have a Yelp account? I said, yeah. And he said, if you are willing to leave a good review on our Yelp page, I'll give you a $10 credit the next time you come in.
And did you?
Well, what kind of animal do you think I am? No, seriously, that's actually offensive. You think that I could be bought out for $10?
I mean, possibly.
Wow, that actually hurts.
Well, let me ask you this: are they a good dry cleaner?
Not
like
bad.
If I were to say to you, Brian, I need to get some shirts dry cleaned, would you say, "Hey, go to my guy"?
Yeah, I would say so. Why not?
You know, you're doing the guy a solid. And you're getting a little something for it in return.
I mean, I did say that I've been using this dry cleaner for all dry cleaning alterations since I moved to the neighborhood and have not been disappointed. See? Prices are reasonable, and my clothes always come back in great shape. Friendly service as well.
I mean, he certainly could have asked you for something much worse.
Can you give me some relief?
So the fact that he only asked you for a Yelp review.
And I would have. I would have seen that he was in an aroused state, and I'm really embarrassed about this one. But I relieved him.
And you know what he would have said afterwards?
You loved it.
We could just really get all these good. This is what it sounded like during. All right, that's enough playing with the sound effects today.
I think there's stuff in that R. Kelly that you may want to hold on to.
Oh, I really have to go back to the entire clip again.
I'm fighting for my life.
I mean, and again.
You know what the problem is? And this is the problem that I have with R. Kelly right now, is that we all, and maybe you're not going to want to admit it, but we all saw that videotape 10 plus years ago when the first time he was arrested on these charges. We all saw that video of him peeing on that young girl. And there was no way that girl was 18. Yeah. And there's no way that that was not R. Kelly. I don't know R. Kelly very well. And I can sit there and watch that video and say, oh, that's R. Kelly. That is definitely R. Kelly. And I can look at that little girl being peed on and be like, that girl should not be getting peed on. There's no, she should be home doing her math homework. There is no, the fact that he was found not guilty the first time around, shame on our court system, and he's probably guilty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he married Aaliyah when she was 15.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't realize.
And he was 27.
Yeah, like, he doesn't have any leg to stand on. And he should have been at the point where he was acquitted the first time, he should have been like, wow, I am a lucky, lucky man. I should cut my losses. Let me go on.
I'm going to move.
Let
to
me
Thailand.
Go on the straight and narrow. Yeah, or let me go to Thailand where this kind of stuff is acceptable.
Right, right.
Well, we will definitely keep an eye on the ongoing saga of R. Kelly. We hope you will keep up.
Which is good to know. That's really the only ongoing saga that we have to worry about is R. Kelly.
I think we managed to actually avoid politics this week.
I think we did. But
I'm sure come next week something insane will have happened.
Oh, I'm sure there will, because the Democrats subpoenaed 81 individuals and organizations tied to Donald Trump. So I imagine we're going to have some fireworks in the next few days.
And they are also attempting to get the background on Jared Kushner's security clearance, which the White House is currently blocking. Kristen Gillibrand, or who's the Department of Homeland Security Secretary?
Nielsen,
Kristen Nielsen, torn apart today again over migrant children in cages. Just a lot of horrible stuff happening. We didn't even get to Trump at CPAC, but he was just a sweaty, nonsensical mess, which you've all seen the video. He's more unstable now than I think he's ever been.
Yeah. And I think that's all right. We don't need to talk about him.
But, you know, Bernie signed the pledge to run as a Democrat, so maybe there's a light on the horizon after all.
We'll see.
All right. So go to the Facebook page as always. Recommend some drinks of the week. Vote for This Week in Racism. Check us out on the Twitter, on Instagram. Subscribe on the iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play. We're everywhere. All the podcasts are, whatever format you like. We appreciate you joining us.
We're everywhere and nowhere.
We're everywhere you want to be. All right.
Ron and Brian Podcast.
Yeah, .com. And of course, you can always email us at ronandbrianpodcast@gmail.com. And we are slowly coming up on our 1 year anniversary of this podcast. We celebrated.
This is episode 44.
So just a couple months away. We celebrated our 1 year anniversary of our reunion show at WCDB Albany. So you can also check out that on the Facebook page. But we've got a lot more in store for you in the coming weeks. So make sure you keep checking us out. Brian, you have anything else for us this week?
All I have left is saying happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Love you, my man.
Love you too.
Until next week.
Bye. We're out.